Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
The Cabinet has approved an immunisation programme for infants this autumn and winter for RSV, which will see up to 28,000 babies born between September 24 and February 25 offered antibody treatment under the plan. But some say it isn't going far enough. One of those people is pharmacist Sheena Mitchell, who joins me now. Sheena, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Remind us a little bit about respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. What is it?
So RSV is basically a virus that causes inflammation of the airways. It's responsible for about 75% of bronchiolitis cases and 25% of pneumonia in young babies. The most common cause of hospitalisation in 0 to 4 year age group. Like last year, we know it caused 43% of all hospitalisations in babies under 1 year. So it has a very big burden on the health system.
Okay.
And the thing with it is that it's not just at-risk babies who are ending up in hospital. 70% of all babies with RSV are not considered at risk of respiratory disease.
Okay, so it is impactful when it happens. The immunisation programme then that's been approved for this autumn and winter, babies born between September 24, as I say, and February 25 will get the treatment. But you're saying it's not enough. Why?
Yeah, so we know that this virus is seasonal. It starts in September roughly and ends in February. The hospitalisation rate of infants is actually similar for babies born during season. So we refer to them as in-season babies. So babies born between September and February. And it's the same in babies who are younger than 6 months of age at the start of RSV season. So that would be babies who are born from March to August. And basically, I suppose, ultimately, NIAC, who we have to remember are the committee of medical advisors for the department and the minister, they are, after making guidelines, and they recommend that both groups receive the immunisation. So for me, it just doesn't make sense that...
Why isn't it happening? Why the cutoff?
So I've asked why it's not happening, because the guidelines are very clear. The only line in the NIAC guidelines that I can see that they may be using to not provide the full recommendation is they state that in the event of short supply or programmatic limitations, then the youngest infants should be prioritised. However, short supply is something that has been flagged with the minister on multiple occasions. And as far as I'm aware, we are fast approaching a deadline to get supply for this winter. So currently there is no short supply because we are still in a position to be able to order if we do it promptly. And in terms of programmatic limitations, I, as a community pharmacist who's used to distribution of medicines and training involved in vaccination and legislation surrounding it, it does not even take me or a rocket science to see that we have access to these babies at their 2 month, 4 month and 6 month primary vaccination. So their childhood immunization appointments in September. So we could absolutely get all of those babies immunised so that they're safe.
Because you'll be seeing them anyway. For other acts. So I have a Department of Health statement here. I might read it to you and it might or might not shed some light for you. RSV, they say, immunisation will be offered to newborn infants born between September 24 and February 25 when they're most vulnerable to the complications of RSV during the winter period when infection rates are at their highest. The risk is highest in children less than 6 months of age. This Pathfinder programme will be established as an interim measure for this winter pending the outcome of health technology assessments being carried out by HICWA. This HTA and learnings from the Pathfinder programme will inform any RSV immunisation programmes in the future. And that's the statement they provided. I just wonder, I mean, that doesn't answer really some of the questions that you've been raising. No. Is there a costing element here?
So, well, there's three things in that statement that are, you know, glaringly obvious to me. First of all, them saying that the risk is higher in under 6 months, right? So last year we had our peak RSV in November, but actually the season was well underway in October. So they're saying that then surely they should be vaccinating a baby that is born on the 1st of September, but not on the 21st of August. Do you know what I mean? There's a week between those babies. It's not fair on the parents who also have vulnerable babies just because they didn't happen to conveniently go overdue and be born in September. Also, in relation to the interim HTA, that is basically, for the listeners, the whole pharmacoeconomics. So you're right, Cormac, obviously finance is very important, but we can look at other countries. So there is real world evidence out there. This immunisation has been rolled out in multiple locations across the world. One of them happens to be Queensland, who also happen to have the same birth rate and roughly the same population and burden as RSV as us. So they put their cost of RSV, direct cost of $40 million on the state between all the hospitalisation and ICU beds. And the cost of immunisation in Queensland was $18 million. So the minister is saying that his plan will prevent up to 453 hospitalisations. My plan can prevent up to 944 additional hospitalisations. Okay. We also have statistics that show that there's 118 ICU admissions from RSV, right, in Ireland last year. And the average stay is 5 to 7 days in ICU. And that can be reduced by 90%. So all those poor babies who are waiting on elective surgery, or children, you know, with spinal injuries, mm-hmm. etc., they could have those surgeries because those beds would be available. So okay. the financial consequences are wide.
Well, I know you've written to the minister and you haven't received a response yet.
No, and I actually wrote, I actually recorded a podcast on Wondercare podcast. And the reason I did that was because obviously there's a lot of detail in this for the layman. But in that I outlined all of his potential legislative issues and solutions, distribution issues and solutions, and training and accreditation okay. issues and solutions. There is no reason not to roll it out.
Okay, well, I'm sure they've looked at all angles and they say they'll take learnings from the programme, and we'll see. We'll see what they say in terms of the questions you've raised in the department. But Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist, thank you very much indeed.